This show is brought to you by Marketing Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. Now, let's get on with the show. You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the About Real Estate edition of the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, my friend. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was awesome. I am still fat and well-fed.
I've always been fat, but I certainly was well-fed yesterday, so I hope you had a lovely holiday.
I did.
I am very much looking forward to our conversation with today's guest. You know, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary of this show just last month, and if I had to guess, I'm going to assume that today's guest has probably been on the show more than any other. Would you make that assumption?
That's probably pretty close to true. I'd say he might be number one, and Eugene James maybe number two.
Probably so.
Or Kelly Fink. We'd have to go do some research.
Yeah, but certainly a top three, and certainly a member of the show's Hall of Fame. So let's welcome back to the show David Ellis, Executive Vice President with the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association. David, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Todd. And I think my attendance is probably more related to what I've charged to come on. So, but thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're always happy to pay. So, David, I'm quite certain, certainly after 5 years and all these appearances that we've paid for, our audience is probably very familiar with the Home Builders Association. But just in case, give us a quick overview of your mission and purpose.
Well, the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association, our job is to be a sustaining resource to the housing and construction industry in the Greater Atlanta area. And what I mean by that is we try to meet the needs of our members. We're somewhat like a chamber of commerce that's directly focused on the housing industry. So we do educational programs. Last year, we did over 125 classes and everything about how to run your business, how to comply with codes, how to do whatever you need to do to stay in business. And we also do a lot of networking opportunities, trade shows and golf tournaments where our members get a chance to get together and mix and mingle and get to know each other and do business together. And through that, also advertising opportunities and those kind of things. And then the other thing we do is we do a lot of advocacy work on behalf of the industry. We spend a great deal of time talking to local, state, and even federal government about the rules and the regulations and things that affect the housing industry so that we try to at least get a level playing field so that, you know, good things can happen in our communities, but not at a cost that would drive up housing in a way that would make it unaffordable for people in our community.
Gotcha.
Affordable housing is certainly important.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we are seeing a greater regulatory burden on housing than we've ever seen before, and it affects people's ability to be properly housed.
Right.
And of course, there are states unlike Georgia. I mean, Georgia is a place where we've done a pretty good job of keeping those prices or those costs together. But you see places like California, or you hear about, you know, of course, there's some major cities like New York and San Francisco where working folks just can't live there. And it's just not a healthy community where people can't live where they work.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And so we really strive for that, you know, for our builders and for just our community. We think that's what, you know, our contribution to building a better community is trying to make sure those costs stay in line so that we can grow our community and people can come here and they can, you know, business can do the things they need to do.
Was this this greater regulatory burden? Others have speculated that it was very much a reaction to the great downturn and the recession. I mean, do you agree with that? One, two, do you see that burden lightening in the next couple of years? I'm sure it's some of the work that you're looking at and some of the things that your members certainly are thinking about.
I'd like to think it will, but I'm certainly not as optimistic as I probably ought to be in terms of the overall regulatory burden. And you're right, with the Great Recession, I mean, there were some things that have become more highly regulated through the banks, and it's increased the cost of money that, you know, goes into the process, right, and those kind of things. And again, a lot of the regulations have their place.
Yep.
I mean, the safety regulations,
sure,
and the ones, you know, overseeing the banks so that we make sure we don't get ourselves in the position we were in 10 years ago. You know, those kind of things. But there's also some others that are just more related to the choice of the community,
yeah,
and about how they, what they prioritize. You know, impact fees and tree ordinances and a lot of lot size regulations where you have to do basically an acre lot, and where people would be perfectly happy on a half acre lot, but the community says no, an acre lot. So it just drives up costs. And what it really says to the people around is affordable folks need not apply.
Right.
Right.
Or working folks need not apply. It's, you know, we're trying to make our community a different place.
Right.
And And I understand the mentality, but it doesn't create healthy communities when we can't live where we work.
Agreed.
Well, the HBA just had the 36th annual OBEs. Tell us how that went.
Well, the Obie Awards are just an amazing event for us. And again, the Obies, for those that aren't familiar, is our big annual awards program. We had over 600 people there. It was just a wonderful night of excitement and energy. And I think the thing that makes me most excited about the Obies is to see it back in its rightful place as the centerpiece of what we do. You know, obviously during the challenging times we went through, attendance, you know, wasn't quite there, and the guys didn't wear their tuxes as much, and the women didn't wear their sparkly dresses as much. But when we had the OBEs back in earlier in November, it was just a night to remember. So we're very excited to, you know, kind of feel that kind of energy coming back to the industry and people to be, you know, be proud and excited about what they're doing. And I got to tell you, there's some great people represented in the winners. I mean, some big name companies, some companies you never heard of before. But I think it got everybody just excited about where we're going as an industry. And in many ways, it just kind of put a big stamp on it, said, we're back.
Well, congratulations on the 36. Congratulations on the sold out show. And we can always count on Carol to wear the sparkly dress.
I feel certain.
All right. David Ellis, Carol, and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Your marketing tactics shouldn't be silos. Silos are for cows. Build a marketing foundation that includes three main components working together: your brand, website, and blog. The tactics you use, social media, public relations, SEO, advertising, etc., should all interconnect and relate to your foundation. They aren't silos off by themselves in the field. When you are ready to create an integrated marketing strategy, contact Marketing Relevance to take your company to the next level. That's marketingrelevance.com or call 770-383-3360.
All right, we're back with David Ellis with the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association.
So let's talk a little bit about the housing market. Where are we in 2016 and where are we headed for 2017?
Well, the housing market continues to improve. Now, when I talk about the housing market, I'm typically talking about the new home market, but essentially the entire market's doing better. Overall, there's still some inventory challenges for new home builders. We can't hardly build them fast enough to keep up with market demand. And there's some reasons for that. And of course, in the other side of the market, the existing home sales, there's not as many houses listed, perhaps, as people would like, which, you know, constrains the market a little bit. But I got to tell you, for new homes, we've continued to increase year over year. By the end of this year, we should be up about 15% over last year. We're going to do about 20,000 new homes in Atlanta. We're the third largest housing new home market in the country behind Houston and Dallas. And if somebody could find oil here in Atlanta, we'd probably shoot up to number one. But we're very happy about those increases, and we feel like we're growing in a healthy, positive way. You know, I'm sure there's some that wish we could grow faster, and I'm sure there's some that are concerned that we're growing too fast. But we haven't overbuilt for where we are. And then again, I keep alluding back to some of the tough times we went through where we really had an oversupply of housing. We're not doing that at all. And the part of the market that hasn't responded as quickly as other parts has been the first-time home buyers and the entry-level market, which Atlanta was always a bastion of that. You know, mm-hmm. we were an entry-level market. We were young people came here and started their careers and bought houses and did things. And that part of the market is coming along. We've seen those numbers improve, but just not anywhere close to the level they were before the downturn. And part of that's, you know, land costs. Part of that's the regulatory stuff we talked about before. Part of that's just a change in the mentality of younger people in terms of, you know, they don't mind paying $1,600 a month to rent an apartment as opposed to paying $1,200 a month to buy a house.
Right, right.
You know, and it's just a different thing. And,
right.
And I get that. And those things, and you know, for those of us that are in housing, you know, we've all read, you know, hundreds of stories about millennials and that part of the market. But it's interesting to see. But overall, the market here is doing very well. Every county in Atlanta year over year is up.
Wow.
That's
now,
exciting.
Now, some of them obviously are up more than others, and some of them, you know, just it's a mixed bag in that regard.
Sure.
But every county's up, and that's a good thing. And even some counties that have really struggled coming out of the downturn, we've seen real improvement. Gwinnett County, once again, is our fastest growing county in terms of new homes. Forsyth County and Cobb County, and of course, the whole North Fulton area has remained strong. And again, most of the new homes are still north of I-20, which bisects Atlanta. But we've seen great growth down in the southern tier of Atlanta, in Henry County and Clayton County and South Fulton. There's been a lot of good growth. And although, again, the numbers aren't yet to rival North Atlanta, but it's getting much better. So it's nice to feel that, because it was a time as we came out of the downturn where some parts of the market were, you know, very active and stimulated, and other parts just seem kind of lethargic. And so we're seeing a more healthy response now across the board.
Any niche product in the housing market that you see being a big bet in 2017? You mentioned the first home market. Is that going to finally hit the mark in 2017? What, 55 plus communities, condos, townhouses, anything that's going to be particularly hot?
Well,
or all the
above? You know, particularly condos. I mean, there's a lot of condos coming online, you know, more in town, midtown, you know, Buckhead-y type stuff. But it's going to be interesting to see how the market responds to those, because many of them are, you know, luxury condos. And will there be a market? And, you know, I think the answer is probably yes, but it's still going to be interesting to see. We're not seeing a lot of attached product yet, but that's not for lack of trying. We're, you know, it's one of those things that goes back to the regulatory or even the political environment, where a lot of local governments aren't as responsive to that higher density. You know, they don't want that kind of thing, which you have to have, obviously, to build attached housing, and frankly, to build some more, you know, workforce type housing. And so that's something we work on a lot, is kind of get around if there's a stigma around it, because there shouldn't be. Yeah, that's one of those things. But you mentioned about the active adult communities, or what, you know, often get referred to as 55 plus communities. But that's been a part of our market that's really come along in a very interesting and significant way. Before the downturn, you know, the active adult communities represented about 3% of our market. Last year, they represented 9% of our market, which again isn't a big part of the market, but it's a big, big increase.
It's huge.
And of course, the markets are different before the downturn and now too.
Sure.
But we're seeing more and more builders build those things. We're more folks that want to come to Atlanta to live in those kind of housing.
Well, someone on the show recently said that the 55 plus market is underserved here. I mean, do you agree with that? And is there tremendous opportunity there?
I think there's opportunity. What's happened? There's so many, you know, moving parts around it. There's folks that have gone to Florida who said, "Mom, the taxes are too high. I don't like the hurricanes. I want to move back someplace, but I like to stay in the South. And oh, by the way, my kids live in Atlanta.
Right.
Now, I don't want to live next door to them. I'd like to live where I can go see them on the weekends and spend time together and babysit the kids.
Right.
And I want to participate in the culture and the sports and shopping, because most of that housing isn't where people go to, you know, they go there to live.
Right.
You know, and have an active lifestyle.
Right.
And so many of them are designed around that. And so there's a lot of great places, and they don't really care about the local schools, and they don't care about, you know, a lot of the other amenities that, you know, young working families might worry about, but they want to be close enough to a big city, but they don't want to live in a big city.
Right.
So you'll find a lot of these communities kind of ringing the city, which is nice, because there's land further, just a little bit further out.
Right.
That's a little more affordable. It creates a nice environment, but people want a, you know, a ranch style kind of home. And a lot of these homes are attached. Or, you know, built into, you know, they have a lot of unique and wonderful designs they're doing with the active adult communities. And they just, you know, but they also want to be able to get on the bus or with friends and go to the Braves game or go to a Hawks game or go to the theater, go down to the Fox, go to the concert, you know, and have some fun.
Yep.
And of course, in a city like Atlanta, like many major cities, obviously has great, you know, healthcare opportunities here and those kind of things that make the lifestyle for someone who is retired or retiring. You know, you do a lot of fun things, and you can still get to the beach when you're ready to go. You can get to the mountains when you're ready to go. I mean, so Atlanta has some unique and interesting opportunities. And again, a lot of it is obviously driven, again, by we have 6 million people here, which means there's a bunch of grandkids around here somewhere. and so for those folks to be able to, you know, co-locate or at least closely locate to their family, you know, to be a part.
So one of the trends we've seen over the last, I don't know, I guess 4 or 5 years, maybe even a little longer, is lots of mergers and acquisitions. Do you think that that trend is going to continue? And how does that affect the smaller builders who really are kind of the bulk of the membership of the Home Builders Association?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to continue. And I'm proud of that. And let me tell you why. When these big, sophisticated national builders look around the country and say, we need to be in Atlanta, that's a market where we can do well. And I think that sends a real interesting and positive statement about the market.
Sure does.
And at the same time, you know, how does it affect my smaller guys? I don't think it really changes their world as much as you might think, you know, because those guys do it. It's a whole different business model. Now, I think my small guys would love to be able to borrow money the way those big guys can have access to the capital they have and those kind of things. But, you know, my small guys, you know, meet the market in a different way. You know, I'm excited. Of course, our markets changed. You know, before the downturn in 2005, the top 10 builders in Atlanta represented 18% of the market. Mm-hmm. This year, the top 10 builders are going to represent almost 50% of our market. So it's a fairly seismic shift in what our market looks like. You know, believe me, I could fill up a show with good or bad and what you think about that. But, you know, I think it's good we're building houses in Atlanta. I do hope that as we move forward, there's greater opportunities for my smaller guys to find land, to find financing, to be able to do their business so they can participate in the housing recovery. You know, certainly not in equal fashion because it's just two different things.
Right.
But, you know, but in a way that's meaningful.
So what about Home Builders Association membership? Is it growing? You know, how does someone go about joining? Who should join?
Well, the association's doing well. We are growing. You know, obviously, as a person who's responsible to oversee that, we're never growing quite as fast as I would hope, but at the same time, we're doing well. You know, who should join? If you're a builder, you're a remodeler, you're someone who works in relationship to the housing industry, a closing attorney, a bank, a carpenter, an electrician, anybody who works in the venues around housing, we believe should be a member for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a great way to grow your business. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to educate your employees. It's a great way to do a lot of things. And on some level, it's also a great way to support the efforts around your work. While you guys are busy doing your work and building houses and growing your businesses, you know, we're busy on your behalf down fighting at government levels and doing things to represent you so you don't have to. So having those resources in your membership really contributes to that. But if you're interested in knowing more about the HBA, you can go to our website at atlantahomebuilders.com, or you can give us a call at the office, or just, you know, Google us online, and we'd love to hear from you and find out how we can be a resource to you.
All right. David Ellis, Executive Vice President of the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association. As always, sir, it's great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks.
I suspect the next time I see you will be 2017. I'm anxious to see how you think things are kicking off the new year. All right. That wraps this week's About Real Estate edition. Check out the show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we sure appreciate that rating and review on iTunes. So again, on behalf of today's guest, David Ellis, my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.